Hello and welcome to PokeSports, competitive Pokemon podcast. My name is Kevin and I play with one Lego figure on the field.
My name is Mike and I'm so proud of Kevin for doing the intro.
I had to take initiative here.
Wow.
We're about to have a very awkward like 10 seconds.
Kevin can't handle any kind of awkwardness at all. And you know what? I love you for it.
That's when I step up.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I step up to avoid awkwardness.
I've learned how to prompt you for things now.
Oh, no, stop.
I just make things a little bit awkward, and you're like let's go.
Gotta speak. So, yeah, we're in the Brooklyn Podcasting Studio again.
Yes.
Those on Patreon would have heard us say that already, but if you're not on Patreon, hey, if you want an extra 15 minutes of this podcast, go ahead and join Patreon.
I feel like it was a little bit more, but you know what? Good.
If you guys want an extra 7 hours of this podcast.
It was 7 hours. We've been here for so long. I'm tired and I'm glued to this seat.
We're getting dirty looks from Walter on the side, who's currently helping us host this podcast, saying, guys, I want to go home. I'm hungry.
You ordered Uber Eats. It's fine. All right. We're back in the Brooklyn Podcasting Studio. We're doing this in person again. I'm on vacation in New York, and here we are. I'm making it a little awkward for you. How you doing?
Hey.
There you go.
I'm great.
Okay. So listen, folks, there's lots that we have to talk about today. There you go.
Mike has a whole notebook.
I made...
We're going
don't
back
show
a
them my
years.
Dirty notes. They're so bad. I made them at 1 a.m. yesterday in a hotel room bed, just like scribbling whatever I can
you
remember.
You totally
don't
bought
this
it. Book here.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Don't worry about
it. You went to a corner store, was like... Dang, I forgot my laptop. Let me get a book.
We're here to talk about Pokemon. All right. If anybody wants to know the origin of this little guy here as it relates to Pokemon, you can go and check that out on our Patreon as well. Patreon.com/PokeSports.
And for now, we're just going to keep it a mystery. Keep him there.
Exactly.
Decide what it is.
Just let it stand. It's fine. Let's talk about Series 13. All right. Let's talk about VGC for a little bit. As of September 1st, Series 13 has finally dropped. Series 13, that being the... format where you can put anything you want, be it legendary Pokemon, restricted Pokemon, mystic Pokemon, anything.
I've had my experience with Series 13.
Have you?
I don't quite hate it yet, and I think that's because I haven't started memeing yet.
Okay.
Once I start memeing, I'm sure I'm going to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I had a little bit of sprinkle of meme on the YouTube channel. I decided to play a Melton team.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult. It's not easy to play Melton, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Who essentially doesn't offer anything except Magnet Pull and Thunder Wave.
That's not a lot. So why use it? Period. Question mark.
Because it's funny. It's good content.
I mean, that's true.
That's the only reason. But the thing is, when I play seriously, I do fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm currently in the battle corner for Game Corner Podcast. I'm currently undefeated in that. I'm in the semifinals.
I'm sorry, with the Meltan?
No.
Okay.
We're running Victini, Groudon, Charizard, Yveltal, etc.
That's disgusting. That's dirty.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're allowed to do now. There's no reason to ever use like a Galarian Moltres again because you could just have Yveltal. What right. I am noticing about Series 13, though, that I'm kind of enjoying.
Yeah.
Is that Zamazenta can actually be decent.
Really?
Because you don't have to sacrifice your Zacian to use the Zamazenta.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of just have both. And nothing's really stopping.
Just get both the dogs up in there.
You can.
Have we not put out a video with that yet?
No. Double
Zacian
dogs?
And Zamazenta?
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
We have.
Yeah.
Okay.
In like Series 12, though, like a long time ago.
Yeah, but now it can be good.
Now it could be as many dogs as you want. You could have like a complete...
Full dog team.
Oh, yeah.
Get all the dog team. Let's go.
Get all the dog team?
Get all the dog team.
How many dog legends are there?
Enough.
Okay, yeah, there's Zacian.
Yep.
Zamazenta.
Reshiram.
Groudon. All the dogs.
Groudon is a dog.
Kyogre.
Kyogre. Perfect. Rayquaza. It's just a flying snake-like
Did
dog.
Did I ever tell you that? About, I think I posted on my personal Twitter.
Okay.
That, because I released a cat team video.
Yes.
And then there was an Entei on it. I got so many so many comments telling me that Entei is a dog.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's a lion.
It's a, yeah.
And then I posted that on Twitter. If someone else tells me that Entei is a cat, isn't a cat.
I'm going to scream.
Yeah. And I did. Because of course, as you can expect, everyone then tells me that it's a cat.
Yeah,
it's
you
a
can't
dog.
Tell you can't tell people on the internet not to tell you something.
I kind of did it on purpose, though. You guys just fell for my ploy. So I've now, so now
you
I'm
got
convinced.
Content farmed.
So now I'm convinced farmed. Every Pokemon is a dog. Butterfree, dog.
I mean, you're not wrong. Yeah, Pikachu's just a little dog.
It's just a little dog.
Yeah, Ash carries around a little dog with him.
Yeah, every Pokemon's a dog.
Yeah, it's fine. So back to series 13. The fact that it dropped is kind of way different, obviously, than series 12. But I think series 12 is kind of a culmination of all of the series that came before it.
Yeah,
which is probably why you're you know not memeing it just yet, because there's still a lot to actually like delve into it. But you know, I don't know. I feel like people going into this are like, well, if we're gonna start with something new, let's do something a little bit more transitory to Scarlet and Violet. So instead of series 13, what a lot of people are pitching now is to go and play the Spike Myth Cup, which is a format that was brought in, when was it? I think March of 2022.
It was brought in for just a month or
something.
Yeah,
just a month. It was like an online competition.
Yeah.
Where you're not allowed to use the core mechanic of Sword and Shield, that being Dynamax. And you're not allowed to bring any restricted Pokemon. So that's including Zacian, that's including Calyrex, but not including Glaceon.
You can still use Glaceon, you can still use Spectre, kind of you can still use Landorus, Zapdos, etc. But yeah, no restricted, no box legends.
Right. And so a lot of people were starting to, you know, say, why don't we just play that instead? Play without the restricteds. We're not going to have those in the next game anyway. Play without Dynamax. We're not going to have that in the next game anyway. Let's go. And so we put that out on YouTube because I was curious. On our Patreon right now, patreon.com/pokesports, we are hosting a tournament.
Yes.
That being Series 13. And we said, okay, well, if so many people were talking about Spike Myth Cup, does that mean that they're going to want that for October? We didn't know if people were like actually wanting to, or if that's just kind of the trend that was going on right now. So I posted that out to YouTube. I put out a poll. And Kevin, I don't know, have you seen the results of the poll?
No, I haven't turned my computer on.
No, I don't have a computer anymore. 75% of people said that they want to be playing Spike Myth Cup.
The community is so divided right now. And it's so funny how divided it is. It's like, accumulatively, half the community is just like, man, screw mythics.
Yeah.
And I think the big reason why that's happening is because they announced Series 13 a month before it actually came out.
Yes.
So everyone already theory crafted everything that you can do in it before it started.
And they realized, oh, this isn't as fun as it could be.
Yeah, exactly. So that now they're already sick of it. It's been a month.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, that's not a big deal. I wouldn't mind, because I feel like maybe in a month I'll be sick of Series 13 too.
Right.
And if people just don't want to see Series 13 and want to see Spike Myth Cup, be my guest. I'd much rather use Dracovish. Like, you know?
I mean, fair. The problem with that, though, is that, like, you can't go on the ladder and play Spike Myth Cup.
You need to have friends. It's a rough one.
So if we want to put out videos on that, and like, we've got to either play a lot together or find a lot of other people who want to play it. Now, maybe there are a lot of other people who want to play it. I don't know.
Because we refused to play Showdown. They made it available on Showdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
I won't do it.
Yeah.
I won't do
it.
I like what some people do with it. Like Weedle Twin Needle. I love what Weedle does with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, man, I can't be bothered to put in that level of editing on my show.
You have
videos.
To work extra hard to make it worth watching. That's what
especially not daily.
Rough.
And like Weedle doesn't do it daily.
No.
And like for that reason,
we're lucky.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we'll
see what happens.
See what happens. We want to get into Spike Myth Cup. We want to do all that. We'll see how that works.
If we do have a Spike Myth Liege, and people actually have a capture card that doesn't record in 480p. We can go back to commentating things again. That'd be fun.
If people haven't set up their phone on a tripod, their Nokia, you know, whatever phone on a tripod and are recording their screen, then maybe we'll put it up.
Did you buy a capture card thinking you can make it on YouTube and failed miserably? Let PokeSports use your content.
Same. Don't worry. Same. I'm with you. This is relatable. Trust me. Let's talk about Unite, because Unite is
a different game now.
Is
apparently.
A different time. What do you mean?
The thing is, I logged into Unite originally when I saw that, hey, they were changing the map. They were adding Alekis and Rayquazas. I thought that this was just a quick battle thing, and I think I even told you.
We said that on the podcast last week. I felt really bad about it when I logged in, and I'm like, oh, this is just the game now.
Yeah, this is they completely changed the game, and they did a lot more than just change the Pokemon on the field. They changed the area. Like, there are certain walls weren't there before. The jungle is now completely discombobulated.
Yeah, there's a new path that you need to take now as a mid laner.
It's like a zigzagger. And also, they put stuff in the Rayquaza pit now.
Yes.
So that you can actually fight the other jungler instead of just AFK farming for, you know, 5 minutes before you gank. So I like what they added. I think it's great.
So I'll tee it up a bit. So again, for those of you who have not been playing Pokemon Unite, there was a major update last week when they dropped Mew. Now this big update completely changed the map, as we're saying, completely changed all the Pokemon, as we're saying. They've buffed and nerfed a ton of Pokemon that honestly we haven't had the chance to like really get into. So we're going to spend the next week going into that. But what we have had the time to get into was the base changes of the game. All right, so let's start with the biggest one, Zapdos.
Yeah, Zapdos.
Zapdos is gone. And all of the things that Zapdos did, gone with it. What Zapdos used to do, once one team or the other team knocked out Zapdos, the team that knocked out Zapdos would have all of their opponents' gates opened, all of their goals open. So you can just run up and immediately score.
Insta-score.
Everybody, I believe, would get a shield.
Yes.
But that one was kind of negligible.
And it would drop more points. And if everyone was packed out at 50, it would just leave a pool of points on
just
the floor.
Just leave them on the ground, exactly. Not only that, but something I keep forgetting happens is whenever Zapdos is KO'd, all of the enemies get like a little thunder hitting them.
Yeah.
So like the opponents knock them out. There's a little circle underneath you and you're like, uh-oh.
It does too many things.
It did too many things. And so they replaced that with Rayquaza. What Rayquaza does is it's nice and simple. Gives you a shield. This shield is a score shield, first of all. So it, as you're charging up your scoring at the goals, you can be hit a couple of times by the enemy Pokemon. When that score shield breaks, then you get canceled like normal, like your score gets canceled.
So it's not insta-score anymore.
Right. But it is enhanced score. So not only is it a score shield, but you can also score faster.
Okay, so it's less rubber bandy. You can be losing and then get Zapdos and then be winning.
You can KO Rayquaza and then the enemy team breaks your shield before you get a chance to get out of the Rayquaza pit and nothing changes. Happens.
That's a lot better. Yeah. I think that's a lot healthier. And I think Rayquaza is also harder to KO too. It has more HP than Zapdos.
Feels like it.
Yeah, because I think they released some Rayquaza stats the other day. There was a lot of zeros in a lot of places. So I'm assuming that's more than Zapdos. They also changed Drednaw to rotate between three different Regis.
The three different Regis. You have Regi Ice, Regi Rock, and Regi Steel.
Do we know what they do?
I do.
Because I don't. I only played one game of Unite.
So Regi Steel gives everybody I believe it's a 1 minute buff of attack and special attack up.
That's good.
Okay. Regi Ice increases your HP regeneration.
That's really good.
By quite a bit. Again, for about a minute. And then Regi Rock increases your defense and special defense.
They're all good. They're all pretty good.
They're all good. And none of them are like, you need to be attacking the Regi at the bottom to like win the game properly.
I will say this. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Regi Alekhi might be more worth than the Regi. So we don't rush Drednaw anymore. We go up instead. So that just completely changes the way the game is usually played.
You can choose now. Now it actually like kind of, you know, there's a trade-off to it. Sometimes you might want to go down for the Regis. Like, if you've got a Regi Steel going down at the bottom and you've got a ton of attackers, like, that attack buff, that special attack buff is going to be really beneficial for you. But if you have the Regi Ice giving you the HP regeneration, your attackers might not necessarily want that mm-hmm. because they're all glass cannons anyway, and they would, you know, rather an attack buff or a defense buff.
I'm going to make a hot take here real quick. I've only played one game of Unite, but I have a good feeling that this is going to happen. You know how you would circulate your healer down bot and your, I guess, ranged attacker next to the healer
yes.
down bot just so that the bulky laners on top can come down and help later for mm-hmm. Dread? I think now we're going to see a lane change where you have your healer and ranged attacker on top.
Oh.
You leave your all-arounder bot. You yeah. let your two all-arounders just fight for one of the Regis down bot.
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever their laner is, their side laner, go up with the jungler at, what is it, 7 minutes?
Yeah,
whatever it is.
7 minutes.
And then fight for the...
Regieleki,
yeah. And then whoever gets bot, because that one, to me, that's less important.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a minute. I think, especially since they nerfed Zapdos,
yeah.
well, Rayquaza, getting that insta-scoring thing with Aleki just becomes so much better.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way to get insta-scoring anymore.
I mean, that's true. And so, again, what Kevin's talking about, Rotom has been changed to Regieleki. It does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Regieleki has a couple of different attacks that Rotom didn't have.
You can heal Regieleki, too, with Mr. Mime.
No way.
Yeah. That's what some people are doing, to heal it while it's taking damage and yeah. walk it down the lane and constantly healing it while it's walking down.
That's interesting. Huh. So, I mean, it's made the Rotom slot, the Regieleki, a lot more worth it, yes. Mm-hmm. I think the Regis are important in their own right, depending on which ones there are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It kind of feels like the whole map is important again,
yeah.
rather than everything kind of trending down bot, and then, you know, 2 minutes left, it trends over to the middle. That was kind of it.
I just think, like, you can let your Garchomp and the T-Tar down bot nuke it out for
yes.
for whatever Regi is there, and whoever gets it. Like, all-arounders can sit there and smack each other for, like, a good 5 minutes on their own mm-hmm. before anyone actually dies, so.
Well, I'm excited to play with you, because I've only been playing by myself, and right now everyone's just still kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a new season, so everyone was put down a couple ranks, so I'm playing with a bunch of veteran people who don't really know what they're doing.
They changed to Scavalier. Right, they added that in. What's the other one?
Excelgor.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yes. So they've changed red and blue buff. Before, red was a Tauros and
it was a Buffalant.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Red was a Buffalant and blue was a Ludicolo. Previously, red was I believe a lot more Pokemon focus, like a wild Pokemon focus. I actually have it here in my notes. Let me look at that. Right. Before, red only slowed movement speed.
Yeah, on enemy characters, and blue did more damage to wild Pokemon. That was good for securing Zapdos.
So red slowed movement speed before, and now what it does is it increases damage done, and it applies a slow.
Oh, they made it a lot better.
Yes.
That's
so not only is it good for jungling, continuing to jungle, but it's now good for, you know, team fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Blue buff before, like you said, it increased the damage to wild Pokemon, which wasn't super useful in the scope of the whole game.
Just for securing things.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just for securing things. You got some Pokemon who got to level up a lot quicker because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, to some extent, if you take the red buff, then you're still kind of doing that. Now it lowers it applies cooldown reduction.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's useful to everybody now.
Yeah.
You can actually choose who gets this.
The jungler buff, will actually be upset if you just take it now.
Yeah. Or you can be strategic about it, right? Like, if you have somebody who's, you know, way overpowered at the beginning of the game, they've hit level 9 where everyone else is level 5 or 6, give them blue buff.
Yeah.
Let them go and do it.
That's a fair point.
Go and steal blue buff from the enemies. Like, it's relevant now.
Whenever Mike loses his lane, I'm going to put him on blast real quick. He's like, this is my jungle now. He just leaves the lane.
I mean, it's yes.
Mike's a very selfish MOBA player.
I'm not. It's not just that I'm selfish. It's that I'm vindictive. All right.
You didn't gank me. This is mine.
Because that's the thing. If it's you and me in a lane.
Yeah.
And we're losing to three people because those two people were facing us and the jungler has come down and our jungler did not come to go and assist us. And we barely lost by a hair and would have like clearly won if our jungler came and actually helped. No, that's my jungle now.
You're doing that because mm-hmm. you can't get away with that in League. If you do that in League, they AFK instantly.
They leave.
Yeah, they leave. They would leave the game. That's one good thing about Unite. A lot people don't leave that much. I almost never have an AFK in my games. League, it would be stressful sometimes where you're like one away from promos and you're just like, okay, he AFK'd. What am I supposed to do now?
That's a good segue though, because
oh, yeah?
Now that Zapdos is gone.
Oh, yeah.
People I have found in my, you know, somewhere in the double digits of games since September 1st when this came out. Second. People seem a lot more defeatist. People seem to give up a
at
lot
at five
harder.
Instead.
Yeah. 5 minutes, you see that surrender vote. And, like, obviously three of the five people are always going to be like, no, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But I found not that people no always bands, think yeah. that because they're losing their lane early, it means they've lost the game.
Yeah.
And I've had it on multiple occasions where people, I feel just through their actions and the fact that they're staying in the base for, you know, minutes on end, that they think the game is over and they think that the point gap is way too big.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the score screen actually comes up, it's like a differential of like 20 points.
Yeah.
The games now are so close just all the time. Because there
isn't
that.
Yeah, you sent me that game that was like 1 point difference.
I had a 1 point differential. Yeah. I lost a game to a couple of people who were very defeatist. Who there was a 20 point differential.
That's what that means in your notes.
That's I have it written right here. People are defeatist. Yeah, people were very sad about that. But I think
it makes
like
sense,
as
though, right?
Yeah. So I mean,
because people are used to being like, don't forfeit. Wait till 2 minutes and then forfeit if you fail at 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Now that it's a less rubber band, they're like. What's the point?
Yeah.
Right? Which is good and bad. It's good because it makes Pokemon Unite a more competitive game. If you win early, you most likely will win later. Mm-hmm. But it's bad because it does force that defeatist culture.
Yeah.
Right?
It's hard to apply the comeback mechanics when the comeback mechanics are lesser.
I will say this. Unite's only a 10-minute game, guys. Yeah. Stick around. Like,
just
relax.
Stick around. Exactly. It's nice when Kevin and I are playing because, like, we can at least push each other to keep going. Neither of us have that kind of toxic MOBA mentality.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten better at it.
We've gotten better at it over time. Because it's come from hundreds of games where, like, you think you've lost and then you end up winning by a landslide.
Yeah.
And before that had a lot to do with Zapdos, and now it doesn't have a lot to do with Zapdos.
The thing is, I prefer that.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing worse than, like, completely squashing someone and mm-hmm. then losing. And then you're like, how did we lose this? Yeah. How is this possible? I will say this. If adding score shield, right?
Yeah.
Because before, blue emblems, purple emblems, and whatever the HP one is, I think white emblems.
Yeah, white.
They would all suck. Now, since score shield scales off your HP, you mm-hmm. might actually have a reason to use HP emblems.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And I think that makes tanks better also, which is... I'm a little bit afraid because I was kind of happy not playing in tank meta.
Yeah.
You know, the first time we went into tank meta, that's when we stopped playing Unite. It was very toxic. There was just a Crustle constantly running around the map the whole time. You couldn't KO it. Just keep running. Then they released Greedent for some dang reason. Also keeps running around you and you can't really stop it. Jumps into your jungle, knocks out your camps, keeps running.
And that's Pokemon Unite.
They fixed it now, though. Kind of.
Yeah.
They made the other things better. They nerfed some emblems, too. I was sad to see they nerfed black emblems, but at the same time, I understand why.
Yeah, totally.
Because they were so dumb.
They were really dumb. They've also added a lot of emblems. There's like at least 50 new emblems for you to go and collect.
There's another
sad about.
Blue and purple one.
Yes.
So I have another chance. They added Jinx.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to get Slowbro for months now.
Months.
I at least have another opportunity to get something that is close enough.
Have you got your Beedrill yet?
I have gotten the Beedrill.
Nice. Okay.
But I need the Slowbro. My emblems aren't perfect and it's bothering me so much.
Yeah.
That's all I'm missing.
There are a lot of new dual color emblems mm-hmm. as well. So, I mean, you know, if you play enough, you're going to get a good array of stuff. I'm finally starting to hit the point where I'm like, okay, I have all like pretty decent amount of silvers and a lot of gold emblems to mm-hmm. use. Often the difference between like a gold and a silver is the same kind of difference, pretty close to like a pre-evolution and an evolution.
Yeah.
So like, I'll give the example of a silver Doduo and a bronze Dodrio. The amount that they give you is relatively close.
Yeah. It's very similar. Sometimes golds are worse than bronzes too. Because if the gold is like a very detrimental stat,
yeah,
like minus HP, would you rather have minus 2 HP or minus 5 HP?
I am starting to get into that.
And I'm just like, well, why? Quite heavily. Yeah. What is even the point of a gold one, you know?
You look at it like nature's now.
Yeah.
Like, adamant nature is really good because you use attack stat and you don't use on the Pokemon that it's on special attack stat.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of emblems are like worth their weight in gold.
Yeah.
I can't think of one specific. Raticate. Raticate gives attack and lowers special attack.
Venusaur is the opposite.
Yeah.
So that's actually fine.
So those are like the ones that you need to make sure that are on your
gold.
Your thing. But yeah. Apart from that, you can kind of, you know, mix and match a little bit.
The thing is, like, what people don't realize is that we're being perfectionists, but these stats don't actually matter because at level 15, you have like 4,000 points. So yeah. Does it really matter if you have minus 5 points? Probably not.
I really need to know. I really, really need to know if those are just like, if a minus 5 really does bring you down from like 1,000 to 995.
I think it does.
Because if that's the case, why? Why
yeah,
do
pointless.
We even have
We have it just for the other effects.
It's the other
percentage effects.
Yeah.
That's it. The percentage effects are so important.
Like, we're really min-maxing it at that point.
Back to what we were saying about nerfing black emblems. They cut all of the cooldown reduction in half. I guess they were realizing.
No way, really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, no.
At every stage. There's three different stages.
Mm-hmm.
I think it used to be 2, 4, 6. It's now 1, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Got it.
1, 2, and 3?
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3.
Wow.
At max.
Really cut it.
Black emblems, yeah. But I still had... You had trouble with Venusaur. I was okay with Espeon because I think they, for some reason, buffed all of Espeon's stats.
Mm.
Don't know why they decided to just give Espeon more buffs. Hey, I'm down. I don't think they touched Venusaur, though.
I don't know if they touched Venusaur. They haven't been doing anything with Venusaur,
they're
famously,
content.
For
yeah,
kind of the entirety
of Venusaur.
Exactly. so much so that they gave one of its attacks to Mew, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Like we said, there's a lot of changes to the characters in Pokemon Unite. I know that Mr. Mime is somehow, like...
They reworked its whole kit.
Really
yeah.
good now.
I don't know. I think... A lot of competitive players are saying that they made a mistake with Mr. Mime. It must be amazing. It could also be that they nerfed Blissey.
Yeah.
So Mr. Mime became the new supportive healer.
In my double digits of games, I have not seen a single Blissey.
Mm-hmm.
Or a single Eldegoss. Or a single...
I think Mime is just the next best option.
Yeah. Kind of always been Mr. Mime.
Mm-hmm.
I still see a lot of Delphox, a lot of Greninja. I've seen a ton of Decidueye now, though.
Decidueye. That's a scary one. Decidueye has two builds. That's what's scary about it. You can either go full crit, but the one that I hate playing against the most is like, you know, the old school Varus build where you build like full attack damage, you charge it up,
boom,
bop, there's your whole health bar.
Because what's scary is that is paired up with Shadow Sneak. I've been playing a little bit of Decidueye, so I kind of am starting to get it. You use your second move, Shadow Sneak, that makes you move faster so you can get in position. And at the same time, it fires out this little homing missile. It latches onto a Pokemon, and it makes it so your shots, your charge shots, hit a little easier. Like it automatically targets to that.
I think it probably does more damage too.
Yes.
Because you know, like with Varus, you auto it 3 times and then you give him the shot. It does like a lot more damage, something like that. But yeah, Decidueye kind of does. And you know what's really good about Decidueye now is that you're able to secure objectives, since objectives seem a lot more, you know, important for the game. Just like Decidueye coming from the other side of the wall. Pop.
Pop.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rayquaza. It's mine now.
Yeah. We actually asked on Spotify last week, if you could add any Pokemon to Pokemon Unite, which would it be and why? And this is going to be our transition into Mew. This first one's actually pretty nice. Ghostrika says, ditto, because I think it would be really cool to have a Pokemon that can just transform into any other Pokemon for 10 or so seconds.
That's really interesting.
So you just give it one attack.
Have that be a cooldown, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, have it be for like maybe a little longer for
I'd say
10
a minute.
Seconds.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, give it a minute.
Give it a minute. You get 10 different transformations per game.
That's kind of cool.
It does need like tackle or something just so you can hit wild Pokemon. Or like something. It needs transform and something. They got to give it something else.
Or maybe transform could be like one of your ally Pokemon. You get two attacks. Transform into an ally. Transform into an enemy.
Okay.
You use your ally transformation at the beginning of the game. You transform into
you
like
still get
an
basic
Eevee
attacks.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get your basic attacks and then you just run around and bop bop bop.
I kind of want to see Ditto play like a Zach though, just like. Boing.
You're just thinking about it because it looks goopy.
Yeah, it is goopy.
Yeah.
They should have Goodra in the game. That could play like a Zach.
I'm sure eventually Goodra will come into the game. The way that Kevin's explaining this here, for those who don't play
League,
Zach is a character that's all goopy and he likes to jump. Also can like stick people together. Anyway, it's a whole thing. Pain says, I think Grimmsnarl would be a good choice for Unite.
I like that.
Could give it the option to run screens on itself or teammates. So now we're getting into the VGC transferring into Unite.
Yeah.
Because like Grimmsnarl, it's not all about screens.
No, Grimmsnarl, believe it or not, Grimmsnarl's highest stat is attack.
Yes.
125 attack.
Right.
And you don't build it to have attack at all.
So like I could imagine like a spear break kind of thing.
Or a power whip
or a power whip.
Or sucker punch, something like that. Yeah.
That's right, because it has those like weird tentacly arms.
Yeah, it's
right
essentially now. Bayonetta. Bah.
Yeah.
I think that's what they, because Bayonetta also uses her hair, I guess, to like latch onto things like that. The way that its tentacle arms do that.
That'd be kind of cool. Dino Apple, who is clearly playing off of a Apple Tunnel. Yeah. Says, I would put Sceptile in the game. Not what I expected you to say. I would put Sceptile in the game because I think it would be a very good speedster where it could use those leaf blades coming from the ground. And I think it would be very cool. And Appleton, obviously. There it is. Perfect.
And Appleton, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to pin that one.
The game does need more speedsters, but we're getting Dodrio now.
We are getting Dodrio.
Not the speedster that everyone, I'm pretty sure, expected.
No.
And I don't think it's even that good, according to what beta testers are saying. But it's cool. Did you see like its little ability thing? It's that it divides the score that it has by 3.
The score that it has? So if you have like 30 points, you have 10 points?
You go 10, 10, 10. You score 10 at a time. Back to back to back. Yeah. It goes ding, 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 instead of like you having to charge all the way to 30 and then getting interrupted. So you can at least score 20 before someone stops you, or you can at least score 10 before someone stops you.
That's kind of cool, though.
Really cool. Yeah.
Oh, I really like that. And with Rayquaza, it's going to be really cool, too.
Mm-hmm. So if you have 100, faster. You score like 33, 33, 34, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool.
That is actually pretty sick. Let's see. Faye says, here's a bit of an interesting idea. What if you added Shelmet and Karrablast, but they acted as a duo and can evolve into either of their trade evos?
Well, guess what? They did add them, but they're they're red and blue now.
They did that. Oops, can't do it now.
Yeah.
You know what? They probably can't even bring in Buffalant and Ludicolo.
Probably can't.
Now that they've done that, too.
Yeah.
We know that Audino's not coming in. We know that Apom's not coming in.
I like that they added Indeedee over Audino, because I think that makes sense. Indeedee's kind of just like the Gen 8 Audino.
Oh, you're right. It is an Indeedee now.
Yeah, it's an Indeedee.
Oh, I you know what? I thought that, you know, they kept
specifically
Audino.
Female.
I haven't been paying attention. I've been playing on my phone, so the screen's very small. interesting. Magster says Blaziken, because it'll be really good speedster and attacker,
like,
and Hoenn needs more reps.
I agree with Blaziken.
I like that. I think that's the right choice.
Speed boost be cool, too. Just like every level gets a little faster. That'd be cool.
Oh, so by like the end of the game,
level 15
like,
is ding, ding. You put movement speed emblems on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, even faster. That's disgusting. I gotta say, the emblems that give movement speed give a lot of movement speed.
Yeah, they're underrated.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking about Weedle, Twineedle a lot on this podcast, but I think they also put max speed emblems on a Slowbro. And by like level 15, they were outspeeding like speedsters. It was ridiculous.
Wow. Last one, Pablo. Okay, this one's for you. Wobbuffet. Imagine a Pokemon that doesn't have a damaging move, using only support to annoy the opponent. His move set, I imagine, is Mirror Coat, Counter, Encore, Safeguard, Destiny Bond. Destiny Bond on Unite.
That would be hilarious.
Destiny Bond on Unite.
Imagine that as a Unite move. Like, they're about to kill you. You just, like, R. And then they die, too. The full health gone. Down to zero.
It just becomes Wobbuffet running into a...
Wow.
Running into a group of five and just hoping that someone takes it down.
Okay, the ability Shadow Tag. It opens up a big AoE, mm-hmm. but the opponent can't leave. Just a big circle that you're stuck in there with Wobbuffet.
And they're gone. And this, of course, leading up to Mew. So on September 2nd, Mew dropped. And Mew kind of changes the game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
For an interesting reason. Mew has more attacks.
A lot of attacks.
Mew has a lot of attacks. We have two.
Which makes sense. Because that's kind of its whole thing. That it can learn everything.
I mean, and that's, yeah, exactly. Mew is one of those Pokemon. Oh, the Pokemon?
The Pokemon. It learns every TR and TM that is available in that game, no matter what.
I believe there's another Pokemon that can do that, no?
No. I think it's just Mew. Yeah.
Wow.
I guess if you include Ditto, but Ditto has to copy. And right. Smeargle has to use Sketch, but...
So on Unite DB, Mew actually is you know, fully explained. I'm just pulling that up right now. I realize that I didn't. But Mew gets in move slot one, mm-hmm. three attacks, and Mew gets in move slot two, three attacks. Not like what happens usually, which is, you know, Pokemon starts out with one and another, and then that evolves into two, you know, one of two different things. Mew also gets two different abilities.
I didn't know that.
So I'll start with that. For the first, I believe, five levels, Mew has Synchronize,
okay.
which is every time Mew uses a move, Mew and nearby allies have their movement speed increased.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it evolves into Move Reset at level 5.
Excuse me?
Move Reset. When Mew reaches level 5, the Move Reset icon can be used to reset Mew's moves. So it's like an active passive.
Okay.
Yeah. And learn new moves. This ability goes on cooldown after it's used. Each time Mew knocks out or makes an assist on an enemy player or scores a goal, the Move Reset cooldown is reduced. Using Move Reset reduces the cooldown of Mystical Mirage, which is, I guess, the Unite move.
Yeah. Yep. Wow.
So not only can you get three choices in each slot, you can change them.
Yeah. There's so many options. Mm-hmm. And I think Mew gets really good attacks, too.
Yes. So in move slot one, Mew gets Electro Ball, which is Pikachu's move.
Good. It's a slow and a lock-on.
It's a slow and a lock-on, exactly.
Does more damage the lower health you are, etc.
Yeah, you know it so well.
I play Pikachu. Uh-huh.
It can also get Solar Beam, which is Venusaur's
You know
move.
That one.
I know that one pretty well. It does a big amount of damage. And apparently, if the move hits an enemy, Mew gains a boost counter, which I'm not sure what that is yet. That
it's
probably doesn't.
It's a boosted auto attack. I've seen it.
Oh.
It does so much. It scales off of Mew's special attack.
Oh.
I've seen people go Solar Beam. I think Mew has agility or something that makes it move forward and then mm-hmm. back. They do Solar Beam, move forward, boost that auto attack, go back. That's what people are doing
nuts.
A lot with Mew.
That's
it's,
nuts.
It's so scary.
So you can use either Electro Ball, Solar Beam, or Surf.
Surf is also pretty good. I think Slowbro gets it. Blastoise gets it.
Mm-hmm. Do you get a boost counter for that one? No, you don't. You don't get a boost counter for that one. In move slot two, Mew gets Coaching.
Oh.
And I'll read this one, actually. Coaching, teleport to an ally, granting them a shield and increase basic attack for a short time. If the move is used on an ally who hasn't been coached recently, the cooldown of this move is reset. So you can go
coach. That's,
1, 2, 3, 4.
That's kind of cool.
Coach. Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they're trying to make Mew range special attacker / support.
Yeah, you can.
Or you can kind of mix and match. Yeah.
You can do everything. Light Screen is pretty much Jace Wall. You put down a Light Screen and then any move that kind of goes through it that you use. So say you use like a Solar Beam, it increases the damage that it does.
Oh, so I could see combinations with that. Like Solar Beam plus Light Screen that
And that works on all of Move 1's stuff. So if Electro Ball goes through it, if Solar Beam goes through it, if Surf goes through it, all increased damage.
I'm pretty sure Solar Beam is the best of those three, right?
I guess, that's but also it, like. It doesn't matter because you can just keep on swapping it out.
Yeah.
The idea that I was thinking that people would do is you'd toss down a light screen, you'd use Solar Beam, it would reset you'd use the move reset and it would, you know, change all of your stuff. You swap over to like an Electro Ball, use Electro Ball through the light screen, you knock out a Pokemon, you use move reset again, you swap it back over to Solar Beam, use Solar Beam again. Like Mew's nuts.
Now, here's my question. If the say you use Solar Beam, yeah, light screen, and then move reset, does the cooldown of the Solar Beam get reset too? That would be wild. Because then you can do Solar Beam, light screen, move reset, Electro Ball immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
And then auto attack in between somewhere. We both haven't played Mew yet because they don't let us buy it for some reason. We're like, we tried to give them money. They don't want to.
You have to play enough of the game, and neither of us have yet. And then the last move to option is agility. So that's the one that
you
were talking about.
That's the movie one. Okay.
You move in a designated direction, increases Mew's movement speed for a short little while, holds two uses in reserve, and can't be used more than once every 2 seconds. So, again, the cooldown on your moves goes down as you use move reset.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you use it. It only has 2 seconds of cooldown anyway. And then you dash back after you go and, you know, blow all of your moves. So Mew is
everything.
Everything. It's very technically.
Oh, we forgot to mention its Unite move makes it invincible.
Technically good. I'll get to the Unite move. Yeah.
Okay.
But the problem, I think, with Mew's moves is it doesn't lend itself well to mobile players.
Because it's too aimy?
Because there's so much to do.
Yeah, too many buttons.
Like, you can't move your thumbs that fast. And even with controllers, it's hard to kind of, like, get that whole... Like, you have to have kind of, like, fighting game reflexes.
Yeah, it's going to really take mechanics down to play this Pokemon.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. It's not going to be easy.
It would lend itself very well to a PC MOBA.
Mm-hmm.
But because we don't have too many console MOBAs, it's hard to develop these characters around that.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like Mew is an example of pushing the console characters to its limit.
Yeah. And we haven't played it yet, so I don't know exactly how you interchange between these moves, but I'm assuming it's like a D-pad thing, right? I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Not sure yet.
We'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah. On mobile, I'm sure it's just a button. But again, that's another button press that you got to do. And, you know, there's enough problems as it is. I've been playing a ton on mobile recently, mm-hmm. and I'm starting to feel some of the differences.
In a good way or bad way?
In a bad way.
Okay.
In a bad way.
You prefer controller?
Well, the internet isn't as properly connective on the mobile version.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like you get some drift sometimes, like Pokemon will keep walking in a certain direction, even if you're holding the opposite direction.
Yeah, you're trying to pull the other way.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mew's Unite move is Mystical Mirage, which is a move where Mew floats in the air, creates a field at their current location, and becomes invisible. Mew and all allies within the area become stealthed. After a set amount of time passes, the move deals damage to enemies within the area of effect, which does a pretty decent amount of damage there.
It sounds like it does a lot of things.
It does a lot of things.
So it makes it invisible and invincible?
Invisible. Invisible.
Oh, okay. I think it's invincible.
Yep. Invincible.
It's both.
Wow.
No, it makes your allies invisible. Yep. It makes you invincible.
That is it. Yes, it stealths the allies and it invincibles your Mew. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah, when you're not allowed to die, that's kind of good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Because not only are you invincible, I don't know if you can use your moves. Have you noticed that Mew can use moves while it's invincible?
I've played one game and Mew wasn't on it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. We'll figure out all that about Mew next time. But people are using it. And I think that is the takeaway from all this,
mm-hmm.
is that sometimes a new Pokemon will drop, Duraludon.
People are using it, then there has to be a way to buy it, right? I thought there wasn't a way to buy it.
Oh, there is. You can buy, like, it has this whole event with it.
Oh, but you
like,
can buy the pieces individually?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm not, because I am playing so much of the game right now that I'm just like, I'm going to get it eventually if they're just going to give it to me for free.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
You're not in a rush to play it.
Yeah, exactly. Because again, there's so much changed about the whole game and all of the Pokemon.
You have to relearn it, right? We're relearning.
I have to relearn a lot of different Pokemon right now. So I'm too busy with that. I can't learn Mew right now. It's a completely different Pokemon.
I do like how they did this though. It feels like a new league season. Cause you know, like every season was completely relearning the game for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're relearning the game. And I kind of appreciate that.
If they can successfully do that every time after Worlds, I'm super happy.
It makes sense after Worlds.
I'm super happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did it immediately after Worlds. They didn't even wait 2 weeks.
Directly. Yeah. Yeah. But it's great. Like, you know, you have your year. You have your year playing with it. You have your year, you know, learning it and competing with it. And then they change it up. Great.
Yeah. I like that.
That's all I need. All I need. That being Worlds in Japan is going to be very interesting.
That's going to be a trip.
That's going to be a trip. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I feel like a lot of people are still trying to wrap their head around Worlds next year.
Yeah, because a lot of people that usually spectate, one might not be able to go, or they're just going to try really hard to go. It's like one or the other. Like for me, if it wasn't close to me, I was just like, meh. But now that it's in Japan, it's like so far away. And I'm like I kind of have to go to Japan, you know?
What happens is really quite interesting to me, because what you see on Twitter and what you hear about is that people are like, Scarlet and Violet is going to be my year.
Yeah,
that's
sure going
to be the year where I'm going to try and I'm going to get to Worlds.
I'm going to get my travel rewards.
And more power to them. I really hope that ends up happening for them. But what I feel like that is a lot of the time is there's a term for it and I'm forgetting it. It's when you go to a convention and you're like really sad at the end of it.
You know
what I'm talking about?
It's like post-convention syndrome or something.
That's it. Something like that, where you spend all this time doing like this one big thing and it's like this whole influx of positivity and then it's over and it's like,
gone.
I'm really sad about that. But what Worlds does is it's that same kind of convention packaged onto, and next year it's going to be even better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what makes people go like, oh, I really need to, I really need to do that one. And then it's going to be a big reality check when they actually go and compete and, you know, they do or do not do well. And you kind of have to prepare yourself for that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The good thing about my new job is that I have essentially a month of paid vacation.
Oh, perfect.
So I can just choose regional weekends, right? That's the great thing.
So that's a big thing for people as well, is they need to, you know, start to actually plan their life around this. Yeah. If this is what you want to do next year, like you gotta figure out your timing.
Yeah.
Because it requires a lot of travel. It requires a lot of possible online competition. It requires a lot of local.
Locals are back. We didn't mention that.
That's
yeah.
Right.
We got locals again. I don't know if that means locals are going to be played in Series 13, but maybe that's a reason to play Series 13.
Locals are not going to be played in Series 13. Locals aren't coming back until January either.
Oh, they said January?
They did.
Oh, that's whack. Never mind. Yeah, there's no reason to play Series 13, apparently.
No, unfortunately, there's not.
There's no reason.
No. January is going to be a big time for a lot of people. We've got to spend like all of December
just
really figuring out.
Gathering the game knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think
yeah.
first regionals are in January. That's wild.
Yeah. But I like that, though. It gives people a lot of time to go and figure their stuff out and not, like, kind of feel around in the darkness.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
I know a couple of people were upset that we're not getting VGC regionals until...
January.
But, like, thank God. Because I don't know. Just something... It feels a little scummy to me that there are some people that made it to Worlds this year because of like Mega Rayquaza teams from like 2018.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
that makes no sense. How did you qualify for Worlds in 2022 in like 2019? That makes
with a game that you don't really know how to play anymore.
That isn't, you know, the game that you're playing anymore.
I would love to know that statistic.
It's big. It's really big.
Really?
Yeah. Surprisingly, because they had like two regionals before Sword and Shield came out.
That's true.
That were being played in Ultra Series still, after Worlds.
But I would love to know the statistic of people who qualified for Worlds in 2018 and then proceeded to not play much of Sword and Shield. So like people who are going into worlds who like don't really know the game and don't really know the meta, but are just kind of like, yeah, well, I'm here. Okay, I guess I'm, I got my guess I'm doing it. Why not? They're also, Incineroar is still good, right?
There's also people complaining that they raised the registration fee from $60 to $69.
Well, if you get your invite, that's not such a problem, is it?
Yeah. No, the registration for regionals is like $60. Oh, they raised it $9. And oh, I mean, no. I get it. Regionals aren't cheap.
No.
Right? And it's nine bucks.
Labor isn't cheap. Yeah.
They already don't pay their TOs. So
yeah.
So at this point.
I need to be careful how I say this.
Yeah, you gotta tiptoe around these words.
I wanna work with them someday, but oh man, it's tough to be a TO. It's tough to.
They do get benefits.
They get. They, we're not going to pretend like.
Yeah, there are
perks.
There are perks
to it. Yeah.
Not like a paycheck, but there are perks.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's not treated as much as a job as it should be.
Okay. It is like a whole 10-hour day.
Yeah.
For like 2 days. So
it is a job.
Yeah.
But if you look at other esports, they are treated very differently.
Yeah.
Right? Like you go to an event and like you are managing these people and the organization that is sending you there treats you as such.
Mm-hmm.
Now I believe that there is a, you know, cordialness and everybody's really nice about it to the TOs and they're very appreciative for it. But I would love to see some more support.
Yeah. I think everyone think that's a yeah. pretty decent thing to consider.
Yeah.
Everyone can use more support.
Because everybody who's working there, from what I've gathered, really wants to be there. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I love the passion that goes behind that. And I love the enthusiasm that goes toward, you know, going there and doing it. I just want them to be compensated more for that.
Yeah. I think that's the nicest way we could have put it.
That's the nicest way that I can put that. Yeah. And if you are a TO, reach out. If you are somebody who helps out in these events, reach out because we love you so much. Every single interaction I've had with any of these people are just so wonderful. So
a lot of people that listen to us are TOs too, because we encounter a lot of them, like a Poppy, like Alyssa.
That's right.
Etc.
That's right. Yeah, we've spoken with a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the mutual respect is there. They know that we're going at it from a place of love. We know that they're going at it from a place of love. So, I mean, it's neat. Mm-hmm. I like that. All right. Well, I believe that is everything that we've got.
Is that a podcast? Today.
Is that a podcast? I think it might just be a podcast. So again, to reiterate what we've been doing, we've been at the Brooklyn Podcasting Studio. We've been doing this in person. We have some new patron tiers that one of them involves actually coming over here and doing it again.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, we have goals and stuff.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Goals. I said tiers. You're right. So one of our patron goals is to, you know, come over here and do this again. One of our patron goals is, I think I have one that's like shaving my head, and that one's very, very late in the goals. Another one's, you know, playing a game on the Patreon. It's a really cool time over there. And, I really like that we're developing that again and, you know, creating that community that we've, kind of missed for a little bit over there.
Yeah. I feel like when we had our little time off and then came back, there were just other things that took precedence over it.
Yeah.
And we're finally like, we've developed those other things back to where they once were. And we're just like trying to pick up the pieces.
Exactly. So if you've gone away or you haven't checked it out before, go and do that over at patreon.com/pokesports. Also, you can go and check out our YouTube channel where we've been putting out videos again every single day for the past couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks in large part to this guy over here. If you're looking for the video of this podcast, because of course you remember that the last time there was also a video, that is also on our Patreon as well. So you can go and check that out. Kevin, you got anything going on this week?
I think I have a little bit of a collab that I'm planning out with Sable IVGC.
Yes.
That'll be my first experience with Spike Myth. I think we both decided that we're going to do Spike Myth. And we want it to be a versus. So, Mike, you're going to have some editing to do. It's going to be fun to watch, though.
That's
fine. So we got that planned out later this week. I don't know if it's going to come out this week. Probably the week after. Mm-hmm. It would be a more, a better time frame.
Sure.
But yeah, that's what I'm working on.
Beautiful. And I am, of course, still working on a video about Zation that it's kind of a...
That video doesn't exist.
A love letter to Zation is what I'll call it. Yeah. But yeah, apart from that, thank you so much for listening and watching. We've been Mike and Kevin. This has been Pokesports, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Later. Bye-bye.